Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Today's scripture reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 15 to 20. Another one of these letters has been written to the church at Ephesus. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Holding a bottle here, and on the side of the bottle it says, please recycle. Michigan, Oregon, 10 cents. Connecticut, Hawaii, Iowa, Massachusetts, Maine, New York, Vermont, 5 cents. Now, back in my youth, we used to sometimes have to go back, we would have to pay a fee, a deposit, for a Coke bottle, for a bottle. Here, my guess is, in those states, you pay 10 cents extra or a nickel extra to have this bottle, and then you get that back. And so when you return it back to the recycle center where you get it back, you are said to redeem the bottle. You've redeemed the bottle. Now, I don't really know exactly why some of the translators translate the way they do. The New Revised Standard Version is a good translation. But somehow the word that they translate here as making the most of the time, making the most, the word that they use for most of the time is to redeem. Why they missed an opportunity to translate redeem and put it in the translation is lost on me. I'm sure some scholar somewhere could explain to me what that was all about and why they did it. But that you could easily have translated this, redeem the fullness of your time. The word for time here is kairos, not chronology, not like chronometer, not like my watch. It's the fullness of time. So the words could be, redeem the fullness of your time. Redeem the fullness of your time. Now, redeem in the biblical dictionaries says it's for us to make use and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. For one's use to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. One of the questions that Bishop Brown asked me in 2006, if I was ready to be a United Methodist elder, was that I would not make trifling use of my time. I would not make trifling use of my time. Donna laughed at that. And sometimes I am guilty of making trifling use of my time. Marilyn is convinced that I'm making trifling use of my time when I'm studying baseball statistics. She's just wrong. That's the only way I can describe it. She's wrong. Cheryl agrees with me. She's wrong. But we're encouraged not to make trifling use of our time. And here you've got this passage where we're encouraged to redeem the fullness of our time. And so if you redeem it, if I go in and I redeem this, I get a nickel back if I'm in Vermont or New York, a dime back if I'm in Oregon. But here, what is it we're redeeming? What is it we should go in there and be redeeming? In exchange for what? What's the important so what so that is here for Paul in this passage. And I think it's this idea of the fact that we are, so do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. So redeem your time in order to understand what the will of God is. That's the invitation there for us. And you do that both as an individual, as a sort of a quasi-religious private citizen, if there is such a thing, but you also do it corporately. We do it in worship together. We come in together and we worship together. And Paul doesn't say it here in this particular passage, but you might ask, what is the will of God? How do we go about understanding the will of God? And for Paul, the will of God is understood, and I would point to Galatians 6:9, where he lays out there for the community in Galatia that their task is to be in community together, constantly working towards the common good, You might have heard of Desmond Tutu, who was the archbishop in South Africa for many years, and he talks there about this, the South African, it's a native concept called Ubuntu, which has to do with I am because you are. I am because you are. In other words, I do not exist independent of you. Now, I would say it's not only I am because you are, it's we are because all y'all are, right? That's my Georgia background showing through. We are because all y'all are. So the will of God is, in many cases, focused quite a bit on the reminding ourselves that we are here to build up the common good. We are here for the common good of the community, and making that community larger as we go through our lives. Now, this next one here was this thought about not getting drunk. Don't get drunk with wine. Now, this is not a temperance remark. I mean, in this world, in the world that Paul is writing here, one of the safest fluids you could drink in that world was wine. I mean, it probably wasn't going to kill you like sometimes water would in that world. So they drank copious amounts of wine because it was often safe. It was one of the safer things to drink. But they don't get drunk on it. Don't get overly focused on that. And I would offer to you here is for us to perhaps understand this imagery here as not so much about the issue of the consumption of wine as much as is what happens when we get overly intoxicated. I have no experience with that. I have no idea what it's like. Okay. But nonetheless, at the idea here, what happens when you have too much wine to drink or too much spirits, too much beer? I agree with Ben Franklin. The proof that God loves us is beer. But nonetheless, what happens? And one of the things that happens when you get drunk is you lose your focus. You sort of drift through life. I mean, think about watching people that have had too much to drink. How do they walk? They sort of walk from place to place. They don't walk with any kind of focus. That's how you catch them. That's how the police can identify. One of the tests that they have is, can you walk from point A to point B in a straight line? It's one of the ways they do that. And so part of what I believe Paul is driving at here is not only the issue of intoxicating beverages, but it's also the idea of the intoxication of being filled with our own selves and our own satisfaction, our own self-satisfaction as to who we are, and then just sort of drifting through life, sort of going from pole to pole, point to point, and just sort of drifting and not being able to focus on what it is we need to do. And so we forget what's of importance to us. So what is it we forget? We forget to be filled with the Spirit. We forget to allow that Spirit to be a part of us and to merge into us. Now, I'm mindful that there are some faith traditions where this idea of being filled with the Spirit is entirely God's action. But we as Methodists, we incorporate the idea of the fact that you've got free will. You've got some choices there. You've got the ability to say, I'm going to head my own direction. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be drunk on my own self-importance, if you will. And it's this flawed view that we are indeed the center of our own universes. And how is it that Paul suggests here is one of the ways for us to be filled with the Spirit? It's through the beauty of music. It's through this idea of the beauty of music. What does he sits there and says psalms and spiritual songs and something else. It was three things. Singing, anthem, psalms, hymns, and spiritual psalms. Okay? I don't think that was a spiritual in the form of a black spiritual from South Georgia in 1870. I don't think it's that kind of thing. But nonetheless, it was this idea of using poetry in some kind of way to invigorate you. And again, I want to come back to the translation issue. Just as I had a little bit of a trouble with the translation that they had here as related to redeem, this one, you could have also translated this one, this passage here, where it says, singing, making melody to the Lord in your hearts. It could also be from your hearts, from your hearts. And I like that. I like that because it indicates that the music that we're singing there has a centering quality to it. It has an ability to remind us and focus us as to how it is that we need to understand these words in this poetry. For those of you that are first-time visitors, you may not know this, but Roberta is out of town. Roberta is our music director. And I think sometimes I flinch a little bit because I think Roberta and I sometimes make Sunday morning look easy. We make it look easy. For those of you in the choir, is Sunday morning easy?
No.
Okay. We want you to think it's easy. We want you to look like it's easy. But the reality is it's not. And Roberta and I put a lot of time in on using music, not for the glory of music. We use music in order to help you shape your heart, to help you help your heart be opened in such a way that it can help you understand what the will of God is. It helps us go to a higher and better and bigger place. We move from this idea of being intoxicated with our own self-importance, and instead we move to a place of where we're filled with God's Holy Spirit. Now, one of the commentaries that I read for today's sermon says something here that I think is relevant for all of us. This passage in Ephesians wants us to seek the Spirit. The singing of the three types of music the writer names, Paul names, is meant to shape the heart at the very least and to open channels for the Spirit at the most. In our century, now I didn't know this until I read this, in our century the assertion is obvious. We know that our brain activity and experiences change when we are involved in music, and we also know that a special state is available to several states of meditative prayer and chant. Now, let me rephrase that just a little bit. That's a little more complicated than I meant for it to be. But there was an article, Time Magazine had a cover article in 2013. Music makes your brain better. I'm assuming you knew that, Katie, right? You already knew all that. Music makes your brain better. There is clinical evidence that indicates that you are at a better place when you sing. Now, I'm mindful. I have wandered around the congregation at the end of the service. I've walked up to some people and said, you know, you really ought to sing. Well, it's just not my thing. I don't sing, all right? I'm here to tell you that you might expand your lifespan by about 5 days if you sing, okay? Okay? Tracy, you want him here for 5 more days? Get him to sing. Jay, same thing. And if I don't know what it is, sometimes it's the men who don't want to sing. I don't know. Maybe that's why we don't live long. Maybe why we don't live as long as the women. What do you think? Possible? Possible? So, I'm hearing some laughter back there. There's some sidebar comments going on. The wisdom that's contained in that poetry of this text asks us to open our experience to the Spirit and the goal of shaping our attitudes. It helps shape our attitudes. Let me bring you a news flash. We shape our experiences by what we bring to them. How we receive it and how we are in the habit of responding to it. To a significant element, mood is what we make of it. Music is one of those things that can help us with our mood. We need to come in and embrace the idea, be welcome to the idea that we can be transformed by it. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, music, particularly music in church, is not about the glory of music. It is about the glory of God and helping you come closer to that and getting to a place where that music comes from your heart in such a way that it becomes the core of who you are. Another quote that I was found in my studies this week talked about the idea of worship. Worship of God redeems the time. Worship of God redeems the fullness of time. It orients the person to the Almighty and keeps his or her life in right relationship. That's what it's meant when Paul will say in chapter 4, verse 22, to equip the saints. Paul urges here his listeners to be singing and making melody to the Lord from your hearts. That is, we are to bring the center of the self into our worship. We are to worship God from the core of our being. Paul is calling for authentic worship, which begins in one's heart. That is, in the center of one's being. Does anybody care if I have a short sermon today? Is that okay? You feel like I don't have to give a refund to everybody for... I normally give a 20-minute sermon. Today it's only 15, so I don't owe you 25% of my salary. I mean, I only work one day a week, right? Here's the task for us to understand what God's calling us to do. You redeem time. You redeem time by living according to God's will. You redeem time by living according to God's will with proper focus and proper orientation. Music is one of those ways that helps us with that. Coming in community to worship is one of the ways that helps us with that. And often, you bring into the room the attitude that is necessary to help you change and be open to a new idea as you leave the room. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and loving God, as one who proclaims your word, I can get a little nervous at times when on Saturday morning I don't have anything to say, and then lo and behold, whoosh, you give it to us. Allow us to be open to your Holy Spirit. Allow us to use music to help shape and reshape our hearts. Be with us in this time and nurture us, and keep loving us in all that we do. And all of God's children say, amen. Please stand.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.